You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, guys, well, here we are again, and next week we'll be back again, joining together as a fellowship, and that's May the 10th, and it'll be great to see everyone back again and their happy faces, and we're looking forward to that fellowship. And those of you who've been watching us online, thank you very much, and those on YouTube as well at Right Division. It's really a great thing that we have this facility to put content online so that we can all around the world bless God for His Word rightly divided. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, for this new day to breathe air and sing praises to Thy name and read from Thy holy Word and understand further Thy truths which Thou hast preserved for us, so that we can live a edifying life and a life of productivity and usefulness. And we thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we are. We have been looking at Genesis, and there's a lot of cool things in Genesis, man. I mean, we have seen a lot in the book of Genesis about how things started up, names of people, places, events. And it's very clear that mankind has not been absolutely pure in his actions. Right from the very start, we find, unfortunately, the stain of sin permeating various people. And though they may be counted of men and women of faith, yet they are imperfect, as we are imperfect. So it is with Abraham. We looked at some of Abraham's sins. Of course, they're not all of them, but we saw some of them. And we noticed that there is a context in the Bible concerning the soul. It touches various doctrines that we have discussed before concerning the nature of man and his destiny. And we've looked at some of these things. And specifically, we're narrowing our attention to the person of Abraham, because he's such an important figure, and also someone who I believe has been misplaced and mistaught concerning this very important topic of faith. And we saw something about how that his name was changed with the addition of this fifth Hebrew letter, and that reminds us of grace and the ultimate grace coming to us through death, that is the death of Jesus Christ. We think of all sorts of hymns, you know, five bleeding wounds he bare. Five. The fifth letter, grace, coming to us and through the work of Christ. And so on Abraham and on Sarah's name, you find the addition of this letter coming in. That fifth one, hey. And so these are the context of some of the tremendous blessings that come. And you notice that his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, the father of a multitude. Ah, now we're coming to the promises. And we need to investigate some of these things. Same also we find here with Sarah, she's the princess. And the blessings coming to the nations, you find it in Genesis 12:3, but it's rehearsed over and over again in the scriptures. It doesn't stop here. It begins here, but it doesn't stop here. It just keeps on trucking. And there's more and more about this. Paul is very big on Abraham. That is, he's big on Abraham in his Acts epistles. But when you jump across to the prison epistles, gone, man, gonzo, not there. Now, that's kind of interesting, don't you think? Don't you think that's kind of interesting that Abraham takes a big place in Paul's Acts ministry, but when you come to his prison ministry, it's not there. In fact, I've got here some bit of a concordance here. Abraham and the Acts and the epistles written by Paul. But you notice that when we do that concordance, there is just a complete lack of Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians. You don't find these epistles coming up. That is, the prison epistles are gonzo, man, when it comes to this concordance on Abram. But he does come up in Romans. He does come up in 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Hebrews, big time. Well, that's interesting in and of itself. I want to look at Abraham with a new look. So I'm going to give a little diversion, it seems, but it's not actually. And I'm going to talk about this idea of clustering ideas. You see, there has been a problem. There has been a problem, and it has to do with this idea of linkage. So I'm going to look at this idea of linkage when it comes to the notions of biblical doctrines in the Bible. So up the top line here, what we have is we have some very cool things. And in fact, I will point these out for us. So if we look across here, you notice I've got faith, inheritance, hope, love, family, covenant, steward, race. I've got all sorts of ideas that are up here. And what we want to do is we want to understand how these things link together. And the way we do it is by context, or we should do it. We should look for context and build connections by proximity in the context of Scripture. So the next important thing here is some kind of linkage that we're going to make between these things. Now, interestingly, my subject is statistics. Okay, now there is something that's known as hierarchical agglomerative clustering. And what this is all about is this dendrogram, you know, that's basically a picture of a tree. You put the two words together, dendros and grammar. And what we have here is this interesting picture. If down the bottom will be, in this case, there's a whole bunch of states, but the point is you'll have a whole lot of individual items. And then what we do is we see on the basis of some linkage whether there is a proximity between any two of these items, and when we find the smallest distance between any two items, we cluster them. And then what we do is we cluster clusters. And so we go further up and further up until finally we get two clusters, and at the end we put them all together and we just have one massive cluster of everything. And of course, at that very last stage, we've just got complete confusion. We're just putting it all together and saying, it's all joined together. The most informative areas of this, therefore, will be further down where we see associations where the distance between items is smallest. And of course, to get that smallest distance, we've got to have a criterion. And so over here, you've got the items now at the top. Down here, we've got the items at the bottom. Now here, we've got the items at the top. And you can see what we're doing is saying, okay, B and C, okay, we're taking these two items and we're treating these two items as clusters, and we're saying, okay, these two are the closest together here, we'll put them together, B, C, D and E. Similarly down here, what we're going to do is we say, oh, F and this cluster, D, E, can join, and similarly until finally we get them all together. Where when we put them all together, we haven't got too much information, you know. We're just putting them all together. That's not very informative. Similarly up here at the very top. Well, this idea of a dendrogram and the idea of linkage, that is, the association, how it is that you can link two clusters together, is a very important idea. We use it all the time when we are arguing various doctrines in the Bible. So linkage, therefore, is going to be important within our context of Scripture. So over here, I'm just asking the question, what associations do we find with Abraham? Abraham. Well, look at some of them. Here, I've just got some in Hebrews, just as a selection. There's lots of places we can go. Okay, we could just go for a long, long time about this. But I'm going to pick some out here just so you can see some very strong ones. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith, inherit, promises. Promises, inheritance, faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Promises, faith. Having seen them afar and were persuaded of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Oh, that's something very interesting we see. We're getting more knowledge about the idea of the specific promises given to Abraham. And we don't actually read about it until we get to here. That's another thing that we start to understand. Sometimes we get more information about what happened in the past by going to a book which is quite disparate in time from when the events occur. And that can happen by revelation. If you come over here, look, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Okay, notice, by faith, promises. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. It's very clear, something's going on here with promises and faith here. I think we can agree to that. I think that's pretty clear. So we've got faith, promises, inheritance, pilgrims. Hey, pilgrim, John Wayne. Well, pilgrim, quite an interesting character, John Wayne. So Abraham's faith is linked to promise. There's no doubt about it, and we can just read on and on and on. Look at here in Psalm 105, verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Promises, faith. Abraham, yeah, okay, I got it. And then as you read into Acts, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Oh, let's see. There is promise, God sworn to Abraham, and yet we've got a people in Egypt a long time after this. And what are they doing? Well, it says here that the time drew nigh. The time. There was a time when a fulfillment of promise would take place. You come down to Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now notice the statement here. It says, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. He's not denying that there was a promise given to Abraham, look at it, and to his seed. No, he's not denying that. He's just saying it was not through the law. And it goes on through, and we will look at these passages in depth. They're very important passages. And as you come down further, it says in Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which of the faith of Abraham. Look at this. Who is the father of us all. Now notice where it says the father of us all is within an Acts context. There is a context in which he says the father of us all. It is not right for us to grab that passage and then try and implement and put that and assign that to the people of our age. It's not right to do that. What you must do is you must rightly divide the word of truth. Coming down here, Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, okay, so there's the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice, promise, Spirit, and then it says, blessing of Abraham. Now coming down to 3:16, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Wow, something else is going on here. There's some sort of primacy going on here with the seed and the way that the word seed is used. Now, coming over here, let's have a look. Now, what I've done here is I've shown you a concordance and a diagram in order of frequency of the usage of a seed. And you'll notice, as you go through here, you've got in green, you've got the Old Testament, and then in this pink, You've got the New Testament, and so it's very scattered throughout. But one thing you'll notice, as you come down here, Romans, then Matthew, and then the biggest, those are the biggest places in the New Testament where you get statements are made about the seed. Notice Romans, then Matthew, and then the very biggest place where you'll find seed is in Genesis. Well, that's not very surprising, is it? It's not very surprising that the place where you've got to go to find the biggest amount of occurrence of seed will be in the book, which is about beginnings. Seed and beginnings. Man, this is a topic. This is a topic, my friends. Because we've got to ask various questions. What about viruses? If you notice something about viruses, they're not truly living things. What they do is they get a hold of living things and they use them, man. They use them. They go in and they use the genetic material and multiply. That's their function. Enter a cell, grab the genetic material, multiply. Go to the next cell, get the genetic material, multiply. What about the virus? You know something? There's no mention made of the viruses in Genesis that I can find. Not there. And if you look at how things were generated, it was after their kind, and there was seed in the context. Seed and multiplying after their kind. I wonder whether it is true to say that the virus was there. It could have been. It could have been there. Because if you look at some of the actions of the viruses, you may find that in the original situation, there was a productive use and a useful place for viruses. But do you think it's possible that these things have come into the earth from without? That's something that perhaps you need to think about. But anyway, let's get back to our topic on seeds. So notice it says in Galatians 3:16, this is the passage which I think is very, very poorly interpreted and used by people. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Now notice the first part. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And it says here, he saith not, and to seeds. But wait a minute. If you go through the Bible from right through Genesis, it's very clear that the multiplied seed in passages, in their context, is meant. The most natural meaning of it is the multiplied seed. But there is something that you need to see here. That prior to this, there was this basic seed of the woman. Zera. That is the spermatos autes in Greek. The seed of her. Her seed. So you've got here Zera. Zera is the seed and the ending here, her seed. So this is the proto-evangel, the promise of the coming of the Messiah is the seed of the woman. That's primal. That's right at the very beginning there. So as you go through, let's just go through some of the passages, because we need to get this cleared up. Genesis 12 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land, and there build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. In the context here, you would take this seed to mean the multiplied seed. Come down here, Genesis 13:15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Multiplied seed is the most natural context here. Genesis 13:16. And I will make thy seed as the dust. Well, it's clearly the multiplied seed. It's clearly the multiplied seed here. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Well, here we have a clear promise of the seed being a multitude. And he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if they'll be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Plural meaning, singular in its statement, but The idea is the multiplied seed. Well, coming down here in Genesis 15:13, he said unto Abram, know assuredly that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That is a historical statement. That happened in history. And we know what the history is. It's the multiplied seed. Down here, Genesis 15:18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Why have I taken the time to go through this? I want you to see that in the Bible it's very clear that it's the multiplied seed that in most situations is clearly in the context. So what have we got going on here then? What is Paul doing here? Well, what Paul is doing here is showing you, first of all, that there is underlying this a one seed that will be amongst this promise here. We'll be in the midst of this promise. That sure, there was this multiplied promise concerning the nation of Israel inhabiting the land and all these great and perfect promises which would increase in complexity and revelation as we go through the Bible. We find this to be the case. So there is a linkage here. There's specific promises: land, borders, multiplied peoples, circumcision, etc. All of these things you will find in Genesis. Specific people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. But we also know that there is this primacy of the seed of the woman that's going to come, the Messiah, who is going to make this thing happen. In a very, very interesting and intricate way, the outpouring and the outworking of these promises are going to be accomplished through Messiah, the seed of the woman. That's how Paul is going to use this, which is true, and it's in the scriptures. And any Jew who is reading the scriptures can see the import of what Paul is saying. So I've got a little note here. Increasing detail with Israel's formation, history, and God's revelation through the prophets. What am I saying here? I am saying that you will find promises given to Abraham which relate to the land, the circumcision, and all these things. But these things are going to be enlarged. These things are going to be perfected through Messiah and through prophets who are going to bring further revelation about this. Okay, cool. So promises become more detailed. The seed of the woman makes a lot of things happen. And what I've got in here is I've stated, well, okay, promises of the land. How is this supposed to be administered? How is it possible that this land, which was given from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, how is this thing going to be administered? And if we go to the prophets, we find that, oh, well, people from all around the world are going to come into the land. And they are going to listen to the dictates and the statements of Messiah. It's going to be a kingdom with Messiah as the king, who works under him. How is this going to work? Well, we find out in the New Testament that there's going to be thrones given to these disciples. 12 thrones. And we find there's a temple in the land. There's a priesthood. There's the specific action of the Holy Spirit within this kingdom. There's the law, etc., etc., etc. All of these things are built on to the promises given to Abraham. So, what do we see here? So, here we come to this picture. Now, of course, this the way that this hierarchy is built is, I'm making it very simple. There could be much closer relationships between faith and Abraham than the promises might be built on later. But for now, we'll take this as being a fairly close approximation to the truth, that there is this linkage between the faith of Abraham and the promises. The faith that's mentioned here is certainly linked to a person, and that faith to promises. And so you can get a biblical linkage here. The point of what I'm trying to say is that you cannot break that linkage. You cannot break this linkage that has been built up in Genesis. And what I'm saying is that Paul does not break it. By simply pointing out the primacy of the seed as being the Messiah, who will make these promises come about, it doesn't break this linkage. It's there. It's part of it. And then later on, what we find is we find Paul is given a new revelation when he was put in prison, where he talks about not the land, but the heaven of heavens. There's a faith mentioned there. A special faith that's mentioned there in the book of Ephesians, for example. Okay, well, that's biblical linkage, right? That's biblical linkage. Well, what do people do? This is what people do. They break down the linkage that's there. And they say, now let's see. So the promises, all it is about, it's about Jesus Christ. So wherever you read seed, it only means Jesus Christ the Messiah. And whenever we read promise, well, it's just the general idea of a promise, right? And we're going to go to heaven, so that's a promise. You know, so we're good. We're good. And what they've done is they've just destroyed the biblical linkage that's there. In other words, they've done something like this. You see, what they've done is they have taken the promises of the land and Abraham, the heaven of heavens, and the faith of Genesis 12, and they've stuck them all together, and they've destroyed the primary linkage, and they've made up their own linkage, put these things together, and just made a nice little cluster of garbage. That's what they've done. And once you break down biblical linkage, you're going to get a lot of false doctrine. A lot of false doctrine. Let me show you what I mean. Let's just take an example, right? If you go across, say, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. Now, we can wax on this man. I'm telling you. This is something we could just wax on for a long time. If you go across to 1 Corinthians 15, it says this in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay, we shall not all sleep. Oh. We shall not all sleep. We. That includes himself. Paul includes himself here. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die. Wait a minute. He is linking here. There's a linkage going on here with Jesus' own words. There'll be some standing here that shall not taste of death. Right? There is a linkage going on here, friends, back to the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. And he was talking about what? The second coming of himself. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump? My friends, the last trump. That relates to tabernacles. That relates to feast days. That relates to Israel's feasts. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, these words have brought comfort to a lot of people. And because of this, we get emotionally attached to them. But have you ever thought about where these words are coming from? These are words are coming from the Old Testament. For example, if you go back to the book of Isaiah 25, look what it says. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defence city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Now, as you come down to verse 8, it says this, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Wait a minute. The rebuke of his people. That's the nation of Israel. And they were put in a very bad situation. Here is a promise that one day that will be taken away. So when you read here about this resurrection, this is in fulfillment of this idea that the rebuke shall be taken away. This is when Israel will be put into place of prominence. It says in verse 9 of Isaiah 25, And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. Stop! Look what it says. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. Yeah, now this gets important because now we see something of the repentance of Israel. Now we start to see something of the place of Israel when they start to repent of their sins. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus came with. But it didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen. Here we see in prophecy, yes, it happens. And it's in the context of this victory here. Look what it says. Verse 8, it says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. That happens when he says, yes, this is God, this is our God. And it says in the context here of 1 Corinthians 15 that this is the last trump. That means a series of trumps has gone by. What do we find in Revelation? A series of trumps. And at the last trump, what do we have? The return of Jesus. Back to the context of Israel. What do we find here? We have the realization of a hope. There is a faith, there's a promise, and there's a realization of that faith. Right here. Context. Abraham. His faith. Promises being fulfilled. And he says in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, where do you read that? Well, you can read that in Hosea. Look at this. Go back to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13, and let's read from verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Well, he's very specific here about this. And look what he says in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Oh, yeah, this is very specific to Israel. Don't try and generalize this. We've got Egypt, we've got Israel, we've got all of those contexts right here in Hosea. And as you come down to verse 14, it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Oh, man, okay, so now we see the unchanging will of God that he is going to fulfill this, and it's in the context of Israel, quoted right here in 1 Corinthians 15. What do we have? Linkage. Linkage. Linkage that takes us back to Abraham, a specific faith. And what is Paul doing there for? What's going on in the book of Acts? So during the book of Acts, what do we have? We have Jew first, right? We know that. That's given to us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, man. To the Jew first. He's going to go to the Jew first. That's his doctrine. That's his teaching. Don't try and stop the linkage. The linkage is there. And when he then comes to the Gentiles, what does he do? Well, in Romans 11, he gives us so much information, right? That's why you find seed coming heavily in Romans. That's why you find seed heavily in Hebrews. And the most heavy in Genesis, this great linkage here with the seed. And then what he's going to do is, he's going to say, oh, okay, what's the primacy here? It is Jesus, the seed. What is the primacy here in relation to the faith of Abraham? He believed when he was in uncircumcision. And what is Paul doing? He's showing how it's possible that blessing can come to the nations, the Gentile peoples, through this unnatural graft into the olive of Israel to provoke it to fruitfulness. Why, even the inclusion of the Gentiles was in relationship to the Jew first, to provoke the tree to fruitfulness. So, what is my basic lesson to you today? My lesson to you today is this. Do not break the linkage. What you find in the scriptures is this very strong linkage with Abraham, specific promises to the land, a hope which is finally to be realized by the primacy of the seed of the woman. But nonetheless, it does not break these strong links here. And this will be fulfilled. But our hope, the hope which is ours, is something new that was given to us when Israel blew the rodent rasp to God. And something new was then given to Paul the prisoner, which we call the mystery, and which the scriptures call the mystery. And a faith then is present, but is not the faith of Abraham, because it's linked. It's linked to promises that you find developed in the Old Testament scriptures. No, these promises, no, you won't find in the Old Testament scriptures. This relates to the heaven of heavens. Rock and roll, my friends. Rock and roll. Now, I hope this lesson is being a blessing to you. Now, we still have not investigated the passages, which I need to do. So next time we come, we're going to enlarge this idea of the linkage, and I'm going to nail it down for all time. Because you see, what we have going on today are people saying, The linkage is that it's just faith in general. It's the faith of Abraham. We have faith just like Abraham had, and he inherited promises just like we're going to inherit promises. And so therefore all those passages that relate to Israel are now ours. You know, that's what's going on. My friends, we need to show the distinctives of the faith which is ours, the promises which are ours, the distinctive linkage that's going on here. And not try and bring things back and put them in a bygone era and try and put people under a false hope. Man, you talk about fake news, man. Fake news is going on today in Christianity. Now, they call it the good news sometimes. But it's fake news. What they're trying to do is they're trying to take that which was given to Israel and then imported into our hope. Won't happen, my friends. Not while we're here. Not while Northside is still running. Not as long as these videos are going out onto the web. We're going to face up to this problem that has been made by mankind and his sin, ultimately. Not that we're without sin. We know that. Hey, if you followed our lessons, how many of our false doctrines have we exposed and changed? We have changed them, man. And any time that we've got anything that's false, we will examine it. And when we see it as being false, toss it, man. Toss it. And that's what we've all got to do as Christians. Let's run this race together. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got together, that we have this limited time on this earth. And Lord, we pray that we'd be profitable and useful in Thy sight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.